Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis, on the Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had assumed two halachas. One halacha the Gemara assumed was that, as we discussed in the Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta, that a carbon must be brought l'shma. The Gemara assumed that stama, if there was no specific intent, we could assume that it was brought l'shma. Versus by gittin, the Gemara assumes, and is indeed so the halacha, that stama is not l'shma. And the Gemara asked, why is there a difference between gittin and kedushin? However, the Gemara is now trying to establish, and has not yet established, from where we indeed know the halacha is that by gittin stama l'shma. Says the Gemara, elamaha, the way we know that by kedushin the halacha is stama l'shma, because there's a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta. The Mishnah says l'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach. When one brings a carbon, he's supposed to have six intentions. The first is he has to have intention l'shem zevach. He has to have in mind that he's bringing a carbon. L'shem zaveach, that's what we spoke, l'shem zaveach is what we spoke about in our previous year, l'shem kodesh, that he has to have in mind which carbon he's bringing. L'shem zaveach, he has to have in mind the owner of the carbon, what we discussed about Shinui Bailam. L'shem Hashem, he has to have in mind that he's bringing a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world. L'shem Ishim, he has to have in mind that the carbon be completely consumed on the base, on the fire of the Mizbeach. L'shem Reach, he has to have in mind that he wants to bring, that this carbon give an aroma, give a proper aroma to when it's burnt. L'shem Nechayach, he has to have in mind that he wants to please Hashem. As Dor HaShulchan explains, that when a person brings a carbon, he has to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly doesn't need his carbon. The only reason he's bringing the carbon is because he wants to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ochatas v'osham, and when somebody is bringing a carbon, chatos or carbon asham, l'shem chait, he has to have in mind that he wants to have the aveira they unfortunately did forgiven. Om Rabbi Yossi, comments Rabbi Yossi, af mishloi hoya b'libu l'shem achs mikaleilo, even if somebody did not have these intentions when he brought the carbon, the loch is kosher, the carbon is a valid carbon. Shetanai bezdin hu. And the way that we should explain what Rabbi Yossi says is as follows. Actually, the different machshavas that the Mishnah down, that the Mishnah and the Gemara identify one has to have by bringing a carbon could really be divided into two groups. There are the kavanas that we discussed in our previous year, l'shem carbon, l'shem bailim, and then there are the new kavanas that we now identified in our shir. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, when it comes to the four kavanas that we identified, the four new kavanas that we have identified in today's shir, l'chatchila one should have those kavanas in mind, but with the evidence, if he didn't have those kavanas in mind, the carbon is still a valid carbon. But when it comes to the other two kavanas, the kavanas that we discussed in the previous shiur, the kavana of bailim and the kavana of carbon, Rabbi Yossi is teaching us that there's a tanai bezdin, that even if he didn't have those kavanas in mind, and not only is there a tanai bezdin that even if he didn't have those kavanas in mind, but rather there's a tanai bezdin that he should not have those kavanas in mind. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Because the issue is, we're concerned that if he's going to have these kavanas, he may get confused And as we've learned, having the wrong owner in mind, having the wrong carbon in mind, at the very minimum, creates a situation that the carbon, the person hasn't fulfilled his obligation. And by certain carbonas, as we learned, have learned in the previous year, carbon Pesach, carbon Chatas, the carbon isn't totally disqualified. And Rabbi Yossi is teaching us that in order to avoid that issue, therefore don't have kavana. Now, makes the Gemara's point. Ask the Bezdin, will a Bezdin made it tonight, the Loilei Melashma, they should not have the proper kavana, the kavana for the Bailim, the kavana for the carbon, because there's a concern, Dilma Osul Meimish Loilashma, because if he's going to have the right kavana, he may end up having the wrong kavana. If there's a requirement, Midoraisa, to have the right kavana, how could Rabbi Yossi take away that obligation? Isal Kedaitach, Stam Apostle, if we're going to say that Stam alone is not good enough, how could Rabbi Yossi legislate something against what the Torah specifically requires? Kaimi Bezdin, Umasni, Milsa, the Mifsalbe, will Bezdin legislate that a carbon should not be brought the way the Torah wanted the carbon to be brought? Rather, the fact that Rabbi Yossi finds no problem with Bezdin making a Tanai that he should not have Kavana, because having Kavana can actually create a problem, is a raya. Just having Stam is good enough. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. If you go with the Stamma, it's the safest bet. We began the Shir quoting the Mishnah that somebody's supposed to have six different Kavanas when he brings a carbon. And even according to Rabbi Yossi only spoke about two of the Kavanas not being absolutely required. But Rabbi Yossi agreed that all the other Kavanas one should have. So I saw that the Mepharshim point out that we know that there's a question of mitzvah tzrichas kavanas or mitzvah ein tzrichas kavanas. And the question here is, if there's a question of mitzvah tzrichas kavanas, mitzvah ein tzrichas kavanas, why over here are Chazal requiring us to have a kavana? And I saw the Masham explained as follows. That indeed, a mitzvah, if somebody does a mitzvah, so the halacha is about that he should try to have kavana. But if he didn't have kavana, he still has fulfilled the obligation. Because the Torah wanted you to do the mitzvah, and you've done the mitzvah that the Torah so requested you to do. However, makes the Masham the point, and we discussed this actually in our previous year. When one brings a carbon, there's a purpose for bringing a carbon. As we said at the beginning of today's year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need our kabbalas. The purpose of bringing the carbon is to become close HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the purpose of bringing the carbon is to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not going to have the proper intention, you've defeated the entire purpose of the carbon. And therefore, over here, certainly one has to have the kavanas that the Mishnah says that we should have. And in fact, this may be the way to understand a question that I see the many Paiskim discuss. The halacha is that avada, when one davens, he's supposed to have kavana. But if one davened Shemoneh Esrei and he didn't have kavana, b'diavad the tefillah is an acceptable tefillah. Except that the halacha is that if he didn't have kavana during the first three brachas, during the avos brachas, then the halacha is he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. There are Paiskim that say that nowadays he doesn't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei because we're not that quite certain he's going to have better kavana the second time than he had the first time. But certainly, if he did, he's supposed to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. If the halacha is the mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, so why does he have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? He said the Shemoneh Esrei. So there's a famous verse from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says that if somebody davens and he doesn't have kavana, that's not davening. If somebody davens and he doesn't recognize that he's standing in front of Hashem, what kind of tefillah is that? And therefore, tefillah without kavana is entirely not a tefillah, even if you don't normally require kavana when you do a mitzvah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Michel Shlomo puts it in the halachic category of a misasek, that somebody who davens without kavana, he says, is in the category of a misasek. But perhaps if we follow the explanation that we've been learning in our shiur today, that when it comes to kavanas, everybody agrees, as the Marsham explained, that kavana is required, because that's the basic understanding of what a carbon is all about. The same thing by tefillah, that we know tefillah is connected, kavana is tikkun. If you don't have kavana, just like by a carbon, the kavana is so very important, so too will be the halacha by tefillah. So if so, one will think to himself, so why is it limited to the first three brachas? The halacha should be by all the brachas that you should have to have that kavana. So I saw from Moshe Sternbuch and the Miyadim Vizmanim, he actually touches upon this question. And he seems to say, it's very connected to a concept that we discussed in the previous year, that once you began the Shemoneh Esrei with the proper kavana, so we say kol oisa adas v'shoina oisa, as we learned in the previous year, and that's why we can rely on the initial kavana for the remainder of the Shemoneh Esrei. This gemara is also used by the Noida Behuda for a very famous tshuva of the Noida Behuda. There are certain communities that their makbid, that the minig is to say l'shem yichud before they do a mitzvah. The Noida Behuda, as is well known, frowned upon this minig. And he says, one of the reasons he says that he frowns upon this minig is exactly because of what we learned in today's, in Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Because Rabbi Yossi has taught us that sometimes having too much kavana, sometimes having this lishma can end up causing you to have the wrong kavana, and having the wrong kavana, as we've been learning, can have very serious repercussions. So too, he says, is the halacha regarding somebody who davens, who says l'shem yichud, he may end up having the wrong kavana, and therefore one should avoid saying l'shem yichud. The Ber Maim Chaim, it's known, was the person who was the big proponent of saying l'shem yichud, and how does he defend himself from what the Noida Behuda says? So I saw a very nice explanation. He says as follows. He says, when somebody brings a carbon, so until he actually arrives in the Beis HaMikdash, he has done a lot of different actions towards bringing the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. He had to buy the animal. He had to deliver the animal all the way up to Yerushalayim. So that individual, we don't need to be so concerned, doesn't have kavana. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi indeed suggests to this individual, perhaps don't have kavana, because you're going to have this kavana, you may end up in worse off than you started. However, he says, somebody who's about to do a mitzvah, who just puts on tefillin, or puts on the talis in the morning, he just woke up and he walks into shul and puts on the talis tefillin. He hasn't done any prior action in preparing himself for this mitzvah, and it could well be that such an individual, without l'shem yichud, we don't know what his intention is at all. He certainly should say l'shem yichud, otherwise we have no understanding of what he's doing, and that's why he should say l'shem yichud. So we've now proven how we know by kachim stam l'shma. Now the Gemara goes the other way. We got a get, the stam p'sum noam. How do we know by a get the other way around, that normally the halach is that stam is possible? Says the Gemara, perhaps it's based on the Mishnah Masechta Gittin. So the Mishnah Masechta Gittin says, if somebody was walking through the shuk and he heard Shammah's Seifrim Makrim, and he hears the Seifrim, he hears the Rebbe, the teacher of the Seifrim, teaching his Talmidim how to write a get. And he says, let's write the following get. Ish Pliny Girish Plinus Makim Pliny. Let's make up that the name of a get should be the name of a man, the name of a woman, and the name of this town. And this person who's walking by this school of Seifrim, Vama Zeshmi Vizeshem Ishti, it's very interesting. This is the same name as I have, the same name as my wife have. We both live in this town. I indeed want to divorce my wife. I'll just ask them to give me this, if I could use this get. The loch is Pasul Karishpa. Now, even though this get wasn't written specifically for any person, So we have a situation of stoma, yet the Mishnah is teaching us that the get is an invalid get. Isn't this a raya that stoma is possible? Says the Gemara, Dumakud Rapapa. Their explanation is as Rapapa explained. Dumar Rapapa. Hach b'soifrim hasuim l'slam neskinet. We're referring here to soifrim who are practicing. V'lo yichtav l'shem krisis klal. And the get wasn't written for the purpose of an effecting a divorce. As the Karen Ayer explains the Gemara's Teretz. He says that the case over here is where the Torah indeed says that the get has to be written with the man's name and the woman's name. And the Gemara at this point in the Havmina assumes that perhaps just writing the name without writing the, without having any specific intent, stoma alone would be enough. But the Torah also has a requirement of krisus. And that requirement of krisus has not been fulfilled, and that's why this get is not a valid get. Rather, said the Gemara, we'll bring a raya from the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah says, yes, okay, kasva garish sishtoi, if somebody wanted to divorce his wife, for nimlach, and he changed his mind, matza ben iroi, and he finds somebody else who lives in the same city, vamaloi, and he says to him, shmi kishimcha v'shem ishti kishem ishtecha, I have the same name as you, and my wife has the same name as your wife, pasul garishpa. It can't be used to affect a divorce. As Tosfos, that this isn't a situation of stoma. This is a situation where it was written specifically for one couple. We're only trying to prove, as Tosfos, that stoma is a valid lishma. But here it was written for one specific couple. How could the Gemara even have a havmina that if it was written for one couple, it could be used for another couple? So as Tosfos explains, and this is the way that Achronim explain what Tosfos means, that the cipher was aware that both of these couples were having shalom bayis problems. And therefore, when he wrote the get for the first couple, he knew that this first couple may change their mind, but that there's another couple that is not having such a great marriage, and therefore he had in mind stoma, that the get should be written for whichever couple ends up needing it. Answers the Gemara that no, since over there, Dilma Shani Hasam, the Intikle L'Shem Gerish and Ahu, it was specifically written for that couple's divorce. A get that was written for one couple cannot be used for a different couple. Says the Gemara, Elamaha, the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from this case. Yes, Al-Kain, the Mishnah continues teaching us, Yesh Lo Shnei Noshim, Shishmei Seim Shavos, if a man has two wives that have identical names, and Kasul Garish is Gdoila. He originally wanted to use the get to divorce one wife, Lo Yigarish Basaktana. It can't be used for the other wife. So here too, ask the Achroinim, that isn't this, what is the difference between this case and the previous case, the Sfasemis asks? That this is the same, where it was written for one, and since it was written for one, integrally, it was identified, it was processed for one, and once it's processed for one couple, it can't be used for another couple. So why is the Gemara, what Mishnah trying to teach us that we haven't learned from the previous case? Says the Sfasemis. This case is as follows. A person comes into a cipher. The cipher really doesn't know this individual. And he tells the cipher, I want to get divorced, and I want you to write a get for me. The cipher doesn't know that he has two wives or that he has one wife. He knows that he has a man here who is giving him instructions. Please write a get, and this is the name of the woman whom I would want you to write in the get. Since the cipher doesn't know anything other than that, he is only writing for the husband. And the woman, whoever the woman is, that's who the get should be effective for. Therefore, that's why the Gemara is teaching us that the get is considered, that's why the Gemara had, Mishnah had a having, it's a valid get. Because for the husband, the get will remain a get. And for the woman, the husband, the cipher didn't have a specific intention. So it should be perhaps like stoma. And yet the Mishnah is saying that it's invalid get. That no, when the cipher wrote the get, He didn't just have no specific woman in mind. He had the woman, the wife, that this man is saying is the woman that he wants to divorce. And therefore, it was written specifically for this woman, and that's why it can't be used for anyone else. But could be, indeed, if it were just stoma, it would be a kosher get. El Mahal. The Mishnah continues. Yes, okay. Amla Lava. A person comes into a soifer and tells him, Ksoiv l'ezesh eretz argarish. I have two wives, this man says, both again with the same name. And I didn't decide yet. I want to divorce one of my wives, but I have not yet decided which of the two do I want to divorce. The halacha is pasul garish bar. He can't use either get to divorce. He can't use this get to divorce either wife. Why? This is a case of stoma, and it seems clearly from here we see that even though it's stoma, the get is not a valid get because stoma is not a good is not valid. Because if it's stoma would be valid, here it's a case of stoma. Says the Gemara, no. Delmashani hasam deim braver. And here we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand what the Gemara means. According to Rashi, there's a concept of braver throughout Shas. The concept of braver throughout Shas is as follows: that the classical case Gemara, I believe it's in Masechta Erevin. The Gemara Masechta Erevin says as follows: somebody has a barrel of wine from which he has not yet removed Trumas and Maisris. And he, let's say Shabbos, where we know the halacha is on Shabbos, one is not allowed to remove Trumas and Maisris. So what the person does, and the person has a mind, he says that a gallon should be the amount that I'm taking off of Trumas and Maisris, and I can't take it off now for whatever reason. It should be taken off later, and retroactively, this will have been designated as the Trumas and Maisris that I'm obligated to give. The halacha is that it's not valid, because the halacha doesn't accept Breira. Breira means it should be valid, it should be effective retroactively. And here too, that's what this person wants should happen. He wants that retroactively the sketch should be a valid get, and the Mishnah is teaching us that we don't say Breira. That's how Rashi explains the issue. Tosfos says that the definition of bravery here is not the classical definition of bravery as we just explained, but rather the definition of bravery here is a whole new concept. It comes from the word mavur, clear, and that the halacha is that in order for instructions for a get to be considered proper instructions, they have to be mavur, clear. Here in this case, where the instructions clearly were not given in a clear way, because the husband hasn't clearly identified who is the woman that he wants, which is the wife that he wants to give the get to, that's why it's not considered a valid get. Actually, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos goes a step further, because L'maskana, which we're going to learn actually right now, the halach is that stoma by get is invalid. But now, the question is, the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos still remains relevant. Because according to Tosfos, besides that there's a halacha that stoma is invalid, there's also a halacha that there has to be clear instruction. Rashi doesn't have that requirement. El Mahar, the raya is from the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah says, Hakos of Tosfos Gittin. We know that a get has two parts, a Tosfos and a Torif. The Tosfos is what we would call the boilerplate. It's just the standard language of the get. The Torif are the specific details that apply to this couple. So if you have a cipher who has available time, so he prepares Tosfos Gittin. It says, Hakos of Tosfos Gittin. If a cipher is writing the Tosfos of the Gittin, what must he leave open? Tzach Shiniach, Makam Isha, Makam Isha, the place for the name of the husband and the wife. Or Makam Edim, the place for where the Edim sign. Or Makam Isman, the place of the date. Varam Yudah Mishmu. Ab Tzach Shinukam Makam Harayat Muteris L'chol Adam. He also has to leave the line that Harayat Muteris. Now, if the halacha is that Stamalish is a Shema, why does he have to leave that line open? He should write Harayat Muteris L'chol Adam without any couple, any specific couple in mind. And that will be good enough that it should be considered Lishma. The fact that the Mishnah teaches us that he has to leave this line of Harei At Mataris Adat L'Chaladim open to write specifically for this couple, is a raya that just writing it Stoma is not good enough, because by Gittin, Stoma is not Lashma. The Rishayim also point out that, interestingly, in all the previous cases, every time the Mishnah kept on using the words Yes Al Kain. Furthermore, here the Mishnah doesn't use the words Yes Al Kain. Why not? So they explain, because the previous clause of the Mishnah taught us a very important rule. It taught us the rule of Ein Breira. This clause of the Mishnah is teaching us the halacha that we don't say Stam L'Shma. Each one of these clauses is independently an important rule, not one more important than the other, and therefore here the Mishnah didn't use the word Yes Al Kain. Ask the Gemara, Su Ram Milsachrita. As we mentioned in the previous year, Rava mentioned a number of contradictions to the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara identifies another contradiction that Rava asked. Mi Amar Yehuda Marav. Our Mishnah spoke about the carbon that's brought l'shloi l'shma. And what is the definition of a carbon being brought l'shloi l'shma? A chattis that's being brought l'shem oyla. Mi Amar Yehuda Marav. Chattis sheshach l'shem oyla psula. Specifically, if you brought a carbon chattis l'shem oyla, that's when it's possible. However, shach l'shem chulin, if you brought it l'shem chulin, not with the intention of another carbon, but you had intention just for chulin, it seems that it would be k'sheira. Why would it be k'sheira? Because the halacha is that it's only when you bring it for the name of another carbon, not when you bring it for chulin. Why? Alma, because from here we see the mina machrabah, only when you had in mind a different carbon, but it's all in the family of karbonis, that's when shloi l'shma is a concern. However, the lav mina, if you have in mind something which is not a carbon at all, loy machrabah, then it's not an area of concern. And actually this concept is interesting, because we see this concept in a number of areas halacha. There's a Ran in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Ran in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says that even according to the Man D'Amid that says mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, and therefore if somebody had to keya l'shir was yotzi yedei chayvus tekiya shofar, but let's say somebody had kavana by blowing the shofar, not just l'shir for music, but he had kavana for a different mitzvah, everybody will agree that Kiyah is not a valid Kiyah. And the reason is, because if you had Kavona L'Shir, you had Kavona just to play an instrument, that is not in the family of mitzvah, and therefore it's not considered an invalid Kavona. But if you had Kavona for a different mitzvah, so it's Mina, it's in the same family, and that's when the halacha is Makrabah, it will be much more of an issue. Similarly, I saw a very interesting Shaila. We know that on Yontif, when we davish from Esrei, Yontif, we mentioned the Yontif. And the question that comes up is, on Sukkot, when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Es Yoyim Chag HaSukkos Hazeh. The next day, after, we say, Shmini Atzeres HaChag Hazeh. What happened? A person became accustomed 7 days to say every day Sukkos, and on Shmini Atzeres, instead of saying Shmini Atzeres, he said Chag HaSukkos. Will it be an issue that he has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei or not? So actually, the Paiskim, the many Paiskim that say that in Chutz Laretz, this is much less of a shaila than it is in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Chutz Laretz, we know that Shemoneh Esrei is actually l'halocha, considered a sveika d'yoyma of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, the halocha, the Gemara says, that in Shemoneh Esrei and Chutz Laretz, one is supposed to sit in the sukkah. So saying Sukkos in Chutz Laretz, says Yom Sukkos Hazeh in Chutz Laretz or Shemoneh Atzeres, is not that much of a shaila. But on Simchas Torah, it's the same shaila. And in Eretz Yisrael, the shaila is in Shemoneh Atzeres. So many Paiskim want to say that since the halacha is that if one were to entirely omit mentioning the name of the Yontif in the Shemoneh Esrei, the halacha is that it's a valid Shemoneh Esrei. So if you said the wrong thing, it shouldn't be worse. But I saw that a Paiskim that actually suggests that no, that our Gemara is teaching us that the more similar the disqualification is, the more of an issue it is, not the less of an issue it is. And therefore, in this case, where if you would have said nothing, so saying nothing versus saying yontif is totally two different, totally dissimilar. And therefore, you don't have to repeat the Shemini Esrei. But saying Shemini Atzeres, which is a yontif, but it's the wrong, saying Sukkos, which is a yontif, but it's the wrong yontif to say on Shemini Atzeres, may be worse. It seems that most Paiskim are of the opinion that you don't have to repeat the Shemini Esrei, even in Eretz Yisrael. One more place where I saw that the Mefarshim used this concept is the Mefarshim say as follows. We know, the Gemara Masechta the Yuma says, that Chil Hashem is the worst Aveira. But there's different ways, unfortunately, one could make a Chil Hashem. A person can make a Chil Hashem in front of Goyim. A person can make a Chil Hashem in front of irreligious Jews. And a person can make a Chil Hashem in front of other religious Jews. Which is the worst Chil Hashem? So most people would assume that the worst Chil Hashem is a Chil Hashem in front of a guy. So I saw the Mefarshim say no. It could be that a Chil Hashem in front of a religious Jew, which is Mina, which we're all in the same family, we see from our Gemara, the more similar we are, the more of an issue it is, not the less of an issue it is, and therefore it could very well be that a Chil Hashem in front of a Jew, as a religious Jew, is even worse than a Chil Hashem in front of anyone else. But here the Rishonim have a very fundamental machloikis, how to view the case that we're discussing. Where the person who brought the carbon didn't have in mind a different carbon, but he had in mind chulin, that the Gemara is saying that it's kosher. What does the Gemara mean when it's kosher? The Rishonim say it's 100% fine. It's not considered a machshava shaloi lishma. However, there are many Rishonim, particularly by Karban Pesach, that say that the carbon, even though it's not needed to be thrown away, but the halacha is that what the carbon is supposed to accomplish, when somebody had a mind, l'shem chulin, it doesn't accomplish. Particularly, the Mishnah Chochmah says that by Karban Pesach, where the pasuk says, "V'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem," so you have to have in mind that it should be Karban Pesach, the Meshech Chachma one, so there for sure, it will not be effective. Other Rishonim say it's by all Kabbonis. The Meshech Chachma wants to draw a distinction between when you had this Machshava by the Shechita, it's worse of an issue than if you had it by a later Avoida. But the question is, if Rab, we need to understand this opinion, which, as I said, is the opinion of many Rishonim. If Rav is teaching us that this is not in the category of a shloim lishma, because it's not mina, you're having your mind chulin, so why is there an afka mina that it's not, if it's kosher, it should be kosher all the way? So I saw Rav Shach in the Sefer Avi Ezri gives a beautiful explanation. He explains as follows. We just finished learning the sugya of stoma. And the sugya of stoma teaches us that stoma lishma. Here, it wasn't a situation of stoma. You didn't have stoma, you had in mind chulin. However, Rav is teaching us that the machshava of chulin doesn't contradict the stoma l'shma. It doesn't break the stoma l'shma. Fine. But as we learned at the beginning of this year, he says, a carbon has to be brought with a specific havana. It has to be brought l'shem, that carbon, that mitzvah, that requirement has not been fulfilled here. He didn't have kavanah for the carbon. And therefore, it doesn't affect what the carbon is supposed to affect. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? Vermini, that we learned the Masech Gittin, the Mishnah says, Kol haget, shenichtu shloi l'shem isha, if a get wasn't written in, for the sake of the woman being divorced, it's possible. And there the halach is, a few, if the get was written, l'shem avodas kochavim, for a non-Jewish woman, nami pasul, it's also pasul. But a non-Jewish woman to a get, the relationship of a non-Jewish woman to a get, is similar to the relationship of chulin to kabbonis. Answers the Gemara, v'shani, the answer is very obvious. We can't compare hilchus gittin to hilchus kachim. Because when we speak about a get, dal avod kochavim l'nei, let's ignore that he didn't have in mind this non-Jewish woman. It's no more than a case of stoma. And we finished learning that by get, Stam is pasul. By kachshim, if we're able to ignore the machshava of chulin, dal chulminayu, if we're able to ignore the machshava of chulin, we have here a situation of stama, and stama we know by kachshim, we just finished learning, is kasher. Ask the Gemara, v'ram milsach ritu. So he asked a different question. Mi amar Yehuda, amar Rav, the chata sheshach l'shem oil psul. Specifically, when you had in mind when you brought one carbon for another carbon, that's when it's pasul. However, shachtel shem chulin. If you had in mind chulin, it would be kosher, because again, the point is alma the mina machraba. Only if it's the same type of situation, that's when you have a problem. But if it's loy mina, if it's a different type of situation like machraba, you have no problem for tanya. And just a word of introduction: the aloha is this klicheres, and there are all other types of kalim. And as the Rishonim explain, as a word of introduction, a kli cheres can never, if it becomes tamei, can't become tar. Shirasim zutarasim. The only way it can become tar is by breaking it. All other kalim can be taken to the mikvah. And in fact, that's why Al Gemara calls all other kalim kli shetef. Wash them, take them to the mikvah. Furthermore, how a kli cheres becomes tamei and how kli shetef become tamei are very different. Kli cheres, if something tamei, a sheretz, touches the exterior of a kli cheres, what's inside is still tahar. Only if something is in the interior of the kli cheres does it affect tama. But there's a chumra if there's something tamei suspended inside a kli cheres, it didn't touch anything in the kli cheres, everything in the kli cheres is tamei. Whereas by kli shetef, the tumah has to touch the kli, but even if it touches the exterior, it becomes tumah. V'tanya toichli. The halach is, if there's a sheretz, those days ovens were typically made at kli cheres, and you have a sheretz in the oven, and then in that oven, there's another kli cheres that the halach is that not only is there another kli cheres, but that the kli cheres is taller. It protrudes from the oven. What's in that inner kli cheres will not be tamei. Toichai, what's only in that kli cheres is tamei, v'loy toich toichai. Not what's inside the keli that's inside the kli cheres. And even though the outside of this inner kli cheres is tamei, Rashi explains that tumah isn't a strong enough tumah that it could be able to penetrate to what's inside the inner kli cheres. But, teaches us the halacha, that it's not only a kli cheres that's within a kli cheres that it won't, what's in it won't be tumah. Even if the inner keli is a kli shetef, it's not a kli cheres, the halacha is that it's also matzel. Whatever's in the inner keli won't become tumah. And the question is very obvious. That one kli cheres can be matzel, won't become tamei versus the other kli cheres, is very understandable, because they're all the same min. But this is not the same min, and we're learning now that if it's not the same min, it can't be matzel. The relationship of chulin to kachshim. So why is kli shetef matzel? V'shani, and the answer is also chulin etzel kachshim k'mechitza etzel tana. Ma mechitza etzel tana lemehanu lo klal. An explanation is as follows. There are different levels of similarity and dissimilarity. So we have, till now we've been talking about chulin to kachin. And the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, has established that chulin and kachin are considered very dissimilar. Now we have kli cheres and kli shetef. Certainly, as we said in our introductory remarks, kli shetef and kli cheres aren't the same. But when we compare dissimilarities, the distance between chulin and kachshim is much greater than the distance between kli cheres and kli shetef. And therefore, kli cheres and kli shetef are considered similar, whereas chulin and kachshim are not considered similar. And the Gemara makes its point by using the following example. What would be the halacha if you had a wall in the kli cheres? And there's tumah on one side of the wall. The items on the other side of the wall will be tumah. Why? Because although kli cheres and kli shetif are being considered somewhat similar, a mechitza and kli cheres are not similar. And therefore, they are to be compared like chulin ar tekachin, and therefore the mechitza cannot save what's on the other side of the wall. The Tanan, as the Mishnah indeed says, Tanish achatsu ben nesarim b'yirius, if this kli cheres had a partition made of boards or curtains, v'nimtza sheretz b'makom echad, and the sheretz on one side of the partition, hakotamim, what's on the other side, is tamim, because it's not considered a proper mechitza, because it's too dissimilar. Or, if you had a kaver shikhus, if you had a hive that was broken, deteriorated, or pukakubakash, and even if it was plugged up with straw, umashashel slavir ataner, and that hive is inside the kli cheres, and there's a sheretz b'taychai, if there's a sheretz inside the hive, suspended inside the hive, hatana tamei, the tanner is tamei. Sheretz b'taner, or if there's a sheretz in the tanner, all the food inside the hive are tameim, because the mechitza is not considered something that can be matzel. Rabbi Lazar mitara. Rabbi Lazar says that a mechitza does have the ability to mitara. And I'm Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar gives a basis for his understanding, because it makes the kal v'chomer. Im hitzo b'meis ha'chomer, if we see that a mechitza has the ability, we know that everything that's in the oil hameis is tameh. But the halacha is that if there's a mechitza dividing the room in which a meis is in, it has the ability of dividing the room in two, and only the side on which the meis is in will be tameh, or anything entering there will be tameh. So if it has the ability to be effective by the very high level tumah of tumas meis, loitatza b'kli cheres akal, certainly should have the ability to do so by a lower level tumah of kli cheres. Amar loy, and they said loy. The chum response for blezel loy. Your comparison is weak. Im hitzel b'meis chumer, if a mechitza has the ability to do so by a meis, shekein cholkin ba'olim, because it makes it into two separate tents. Tatza b'kli cheres akal. As the Rishonim, as the Achronim explained the Gemara, they explained the nafkamina of a mechitza by klicheres versus a mechitza by mace is as follows. A mechitza by mace creates a situation that we have two separate rooms. And the Torah says the room of the mace is tameh, the other room is not tameh. Mechitza by klicheres is not here to affect that it's two separate areas. Mechitza here is to be matzel. And since the mechitza is so different than the keli, it doesn't have the ability to be matzel. So we see that if something is dissimilar, the mechitza, according to the Rabbanon, cannot be matzel. The concept of Yehuda Merav taught us that if something is dissimilar, it can't have an effect. Ask the Gemara, but that's all fine and well the Rabbanon. How will Rab be able to understand what Rabbi Lezer said? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer kavachayim akama. Rabbi Lezer technically agrees with Rav's understanding. Just Rabbi Lezer says here, there's a special kavachayimer teaching us why mechitza should have the ability to be matzel. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi hasam nami leim kavachayimer. So why don't we say kavachayimer in our sugya of kachin? If kachim amechalim kachin, if somebody has a mind to bring one carbon, if somebody's supposed to bring one carbon, and he has a mind another carbon, it disqualifies it. Certainly chulin should become disqualified. So Taisus asked the question, the obvious question. Our entire sugya, we've been learning that the fact that something is dissimilar makes it totally disconnected. And now the Gemara is turning around and saying just the opposite svara. How do we understand what's happening in this Gemara? It says, so the Chamudi Daniel, in defending the Rishonim, who learned that the Kash as we just learned, they defend it as follows. Just because you have a Kal V'Chomer, the Kal V'Chomer still has to fit logically. And now the Gemara is saying that logically we can make a different argument. Tosfos, therefore, explains the Gemara very differently. Tosfos says it has to do with a Gemara that we're going to learn later in the Masechta on Daf Mem Vav, that the halach is that if somebody shechs kachim and he doesn't know that they're kachim, he assumes they're chulin. The halach is that the shechit is psula. But if somebody shechted a carbon chatas and he thought that it was an oila, the halach is it's kosher. So there we see that having a mind for chulin is worse than when you have a mind kachim. And here we're saying having a mind other kachim is worse than you had a mind chulin. But again, we'll learn the Gemara like Rashi, that if having in mind a different carbon disqualifies the first the carbon, certainly having in mind chulin should disqualify the carbon. It says the Gemara Tama, what is the reasoning for Rav? Krebeloza, as Krebeloza said. Damar Beloza, my time of the Rav. The Pasuk says, V'lo yichalu es kachim b'nei Yisrael she'yirim el Hashem. And the Pasuk is specifically teaching us that kachim mechalim kachim, that only kachim have the ability to be mechalim kachim, ben chulin mechalim kachim, but chulin don't have that ability. Ask the Alma, so we see from here, Asukra, that even though there's a Kal V'Chomer that ought to teach us that if you had a mind chulin, the carbon should be disqualified, the Pasuk teaches us, don't follow what the Kal V'Chomer teaches us. Alma Asukra, ask him a Kal V'Chomer. So ask the Gemara regarding the mechitza in the oven. Hakanami, why don't we say, Leisit Taichai, and left him a Kal V'Chomer, that even though we have a Kal V'Chomer, that the petition should be effective, the pasuk should teach us that it's not. Answered the Gemara, Hai toichai, that pasuk is needed for a different purpose. Hai toichai meboiloi, lo'oichlan shegevon betit, that if somebody coated food with clay, v'chnisin lavir taner, and he brought it into the oven, that the halacha is, and if there's now a sheretz that is brought into the oven, that food is tar. One would think that hoil over negiya, since that food can't become tamei through negiya because the sheretz can't touch the food, it's coated with clay. If the sheretz comes into the airspace of that oven, the food shouldn't be tamei. That the food does become tamei because it's in the same oven that became tamei. So since the pasuk according to Rebbe is needed to teach us this halacha, it's not available to teach us the halacha about mechitza. Rabbanan, so how could Rabbanan ask the Gemara use that pasuk to teach us that a mechitza isn't effective? Hanach leitzuchi kra, that the food covered by clay, he said that's an obvious halacha that they're tamei, and we don't need a pasuk, and therefore the pasuk is available to teach us that a mechitza doesn't block the tumah in a kli charis. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosi bar Ami Rami, shini kachim ashini ba'alam. He asked a question between the different types of shloi lishma, the shini kodesh, where you had in mind a different carbon, versus when you had a different mind, the different owner, a Mishani. And he answered. And the Gemara explains the back and forth. Mi am a Rav. Asked the Gemara, did Rav indeed say, the Chatas shech l'shem Chatas k'shera. There's somebody shechted one carbon Chatas for the sake of another carbon Chatas. The halach is kosher. But if he shechted l'shem oila, if he said that he bring it for a shame oila, it would be possible. That means, if somebody brought a carbon chattis because he ate chalev, and he had a mind for the dam that he ate, it's kosher. But if he had a mind for carbon oil, it's possible. Alma, what do we see from here? The lav mina, if he had a mind something which is dissimilar, a carbon oil versus a carbon chattis, machraba. The mina, but if he had a mind something that's the same family, one carbon chattis to another carbon chattis, loy machraba. So we see that on the opposite, if something is similar, it's better. Ask the Gemara of Amarav, Chatos Shachta Mishachayev Chatos Psula, Amishachayev Uoila. Somebody said, had a mind for carbon oil is kosher. Alma, so here we see just the opposite. The man mina machrba. If you add a mind for one carbon chattis to another carbon chattis, it's a problem. The lam mina, but you add a mind a carbon oila, it's kosher because it's solely dissimilar. So Rav is, so to speak, contradicting himself. First he seems to say the more dissimilar it is, the greater the problem. And then he seems to be saying the more similar it is, the less of a problem. Or mishani. Hasam, v'shachar oisa l'chatisam rachmona. If somebody, when the Torah says you have to shech in sake of a karmel chattis, so somebody is bringing karmel chattis, brought it because he ate chalev, and then he shechs it because he ate dam, chattis, l'shem chattis nishchata, the karmel chattis was slaughtered for an aveira. Hacha, but when you wrote, when you had in mind a different individual, v'chipa olav ksiv, the Torah said that the kapara should be for the person who brought the carpet, olav v'chaveira. But what kind of a person can it not be effective for? When is it considered a situation of Shinei Baalim? Only, says the Gemara, Chamveira Dumi Dadei, where your colleague and you are both the same, that he too has only the obligation to bring Shemachuiv Karbon Kamoisai, that he too has a chiv to bring a Karbon Chattis. But if your Chaver has a totally different obligation, his obligation is Oila, and your obligation is Chattis, you're considered two different. Rav Chaviv Rami, Rav Chiva asked the following question. Shinei Baalim atach toichai. He compares the case of Shinei Baalim to the case of the toich toichai, one keli within the other keli, umishani. Umi amarav. Chattis shachta mishachayev shchattis psula. That he shechted one karmel chattis. The karmel chattis was brought by Reuven. And you had in mind Shimon. Then it's possible. But if you had it in mind for somebody who's mechuyev, that means Reuven is chayev karmel chattis and Shimon is chayev karmel chattis. And when you shechted Reuven's karmel chattis, you had in mind Shimon, it's possible. But if Reuven was chayev karmel chattis, and Shimon was chayev karmel oila, amisha chayev oila, the halacha is kshera. Alma, so what do we see? The mina machraba, that both of them chayev karmel chattis, it'll be a case of shloi l'shma. The lav mina, but if one is chayev karmel chattis, and one is chayev karmel oila, loy machraba. Vatanya, but we learn, toichai v'loi toichai, I feel a kli shetif matzel, that we see that even if it's a kli cheres and a kli shetif, which are clearly dissimilar, it still has the ability to be matzel. So we see that the fact that the dissimilar is irrelevant, or mishani. And he answers, arba toichai ksiv. The Torah uses the word, we have four abilities to learn something from the word toichai. Because the Torah uses the word we call kli cheres, ashiipa mem al toichai, and as the Rishonim explained, the Torah could have used the word Toich and spelled the word Toich Tof Chof. The Torah used the words Toichai with a Vav in the middle of the letter, in the middle of the word, and then using the word Toichai instead of Toich. And since it happens twice, we now have four extra limudim. Toich, Toichai, Toich, Toichai. Chad is available legufe to teach us the basic halacha that food that's inside a kli cheres, even if the thing that's tamei, the sheriff doesn't touch it, anything that's in the interior of the kli cheres is tamei. One is to teach us the gzer shava, that a kli cheres becomes tamei through its interior, even without touching the tuma. Chad, one is to teach us the halacha that it's only what's in the keli, but not what's in the inner keli. And therefore, as we've been learning, if there's an inner keli in the outside keli, the halacha is that what's in the inner keli will not be tamei. Idoch, toichai v'loi toich toichai, v'afil klishetef matzo. And here we're teaching us that indeed, klishetef and klicheres are very different. And therefore, perhaps, kli shetef should not be considered, should not have the ability to be matzal the tumma, given that they're so different. But there's a special pasuk that teaches us that here, the fact that they're dissimilar is irrelevant. But in all other areas of halacha, the similarity does have a role. And therefore, when somebody shechted the chatos, L'shem Oila, since it's so very dissimilar, it's not considered a machsheves of Shloy Lishma, a Machshev Shloy Lishem Balam, that would disqualify the Karmel.